I'll ask the council to come back to order, and we'll get more people here to speak. So, Sue, go ahead and read the next three names, if you would, please.
Kim Menke, not sure of your name. You're on Southeast 130th. Please come up. Lori Borsin, Mark Jones. Are any of them here?
Here comes Mark. Okay.
Sean Miller.
Sorry.
Sean's here. Okay. All right, we've got three. Great. Good evening. Welcome. Go ahead, please.
Oh, me?
You can be first.
I want to thank Mayor Hales and the City Council for this opportunity to speak with you all today about this proposed street maintenance fee. I'm Lori Boyson. I'm the district manager for the Division Midway Alliance for Community Improvement. I'm also on the Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association Board, and I am a home-based business owner. I am here actually representing the 125 business owners in our district who were unable to take the time off of work today to come and speak to you about this. We are happy to see that the city is tackling the difficult task of repairing and maintaining our city streets, and you all know that. We're happy about that. But we really want you to put this measure to the City of Portland voters. The polling and work group process used to determine this proposed fee was inequitable at its base. The tax, I mean fee, that you propose places 50% of the revenue generation on Portland businesses. Thanks to Venture Portland, we are all aware that 98% of Portland businesses are neighborhood businesses with five or fewer employees. As far as my research has determined, this Transportation Finance Working Group was comprised of less than 50% of Portland business representation. And because Portland's unique business environment, a larger representation of those businesses needed to be at that table. Additionally, after speaking with a committee member who expressed the fast-paced nature of the working group's process, I would ask you to reconsider this current proposal. And in light of the fact that it's always changing, I think you are reconsidering this proposal. I was grateful to read in the Oregonian that you are restructuring the fees, and I'm glad that you've addressed that today. I am concerned that splitting the businesses and the resident is going to pit businesses and residents against each other, and that is very disconcerting to me. I still believe that a fee that generates from $40 to $50 million annually for the city should be put to the voters. I would commend Commissioner Saltzman and Nick Fish both for saying that we need to trust the city voters, not pollsters, to intelligently pass or defeat this fee, like we did by passing the regressive arts tax and defeating the recent water measure. I want to thank you for giving Portland voters a voice in this decision.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Kim Marks. I am in the Palhurst-Gilbert Neighborhood Association. Please bear with me while I read this. It's not that easy due to my vision. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today regarding the proposed street fee. I am also very heartened the city is taking seriously the need to improve the transportation system of our city. We most certainly need to pay for the maintenance and improving of the roads, biking, and pedestrian infrastructure. As some of you know, these are issues that are very near to my heart due to other in areas that we are times that we've spoken. However, I have some concerns about this particular fee. The policy is regressive. How is it that a person who is living just above the poverty line, like myself, can be treated the same as some executive who lives in a downtown condo or a pearl loft? How is it that a small business person being charged the per capita rate that a big box store or chain store is? Excuse me one second. Even though they have more customers that drive and reuse the roads due to their heavy truck traffic. I understand that you all understand the fee is regressive. Frankly, this is no consolation. Yes, there are some protections for the worst-off residents, but all this proves is the complete lack of understanding that people in power actually have about the average person's economic situation. It is not just the person on welfare who is having a hard time making ends meet. There are many people who live like, or who think of themselves as middle class, who are having the same problems of keeping the lights on and paying the mortgage. There are also small business owners who will think twice about hiring new employees or expanding because they will not be able to afford it. I had more to say, but my time is up. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of the Northwest Grocery Association in opposition to the proposed street fee. Our organization has 46 grocery stores in the Portland area, and we are not opposed to improving and maintaining the city's transportation infrastructure. However, the fee needs to be reasonable and affordable, and we believe the current proposal is not in the ballpark of being reasonable and affordable. The impact to the grocery industry is significant. Our stores will average over $2,300 a month. So our 46 stores will be paying over $1.2 million a year. The trip generation methodology that has been discussed, the IT manual, it is controversial, can be controversial. It is national data. It doesn't utilize Portland data. And, again, we look at that methodology as something, the trips to our grocery stores, are ancillary to the travel between your work and your home. And so, again, I know there's an appeals process. That does seem like a very expensive process. What we would like to do is work with the mayor, Commissioner Novick, on how to identify those particular projects, get very specific on the projects that would be used for a residential fee and a non-residential fee, for instance, identifying these, 50% of the, identifying the residential projects, 50% of the collector projects, prioritize those projects, and then have that being paid by the residential fee, identifying the arterial projects, and then 50% of the collector projects could be then paid for by the non-residential or the business fee. Again, this is being very specific to what our investments would be paying for, and I think would be a better solution, because right now we're still unclear of those specific projects, and that's very important to us, is knowing what our investments are paying for. Again, Tigard is an example of a, and I know you mentioned earlier the 28 cities. Tigard is an example that is a city that we actually worked with on a methodology, something that we did believe is a fair, reasonable street fee. Again, it's a different methodology. It may or may not work for Portland, but it's something that we worked with them. We did support them 10 years ago, so they've been supporting their streets for the last 10 years using that fee. Again, we're here today in opposition. We appreciate the conversations we've had with the mayor and members of our organization with Commissioner. Happy to have continue that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A comment and a question.
Yes.
Tigard's fee relies on the parking spaces each business has. In Portland, of course, we have a lot of businesses that do not have their own parking spaces, so we would have to attribute parking spaces to them. So it would be a somewhat theoretical exercise, not any different from the exercise through the ITE of assigning trips. That's my comment. My question for you is, it appears looking at the numbers that Safeways and Fred Meyer's in Medford are paying about the same as, perhaps a little less than, they would pay under the proposal that we had on the table the other day. And I'm curious as to whether your organization has ever launched a campaign to eliminate the street fee in Medford.
We have not. I mean, my understanding of Medford was quite a long time ago, and so I wasn't around when that was, and a lot of the folks that I worked with. So I can't say what happened, I think, close to 19 years ago when they enacted it. I think those decisions are also built on some of the overall business climate. So, again, I can't say back then that it was something that they accepted. I don't know what projects are being funded. It may be something that the business community felt was very, very important to fund those particular projects. And so, again, getting very specific to the projects and what we're paying for, I think, is an exercise.
On the projects, I mean, although in most of our town halls, the majority of people there said that they wanted most of the money to go to safety, and there wasn't all that much passion expressed about maintenance, We are saying that we expect to spend slightly more than half of the money on maintenance, and most of that will be in the busy streets. And those are the streets that your customers use to get to your doors.
Thank you. You wanted to make another point?
I did. I just wanted to let you folks know that I'm very dedicated to this. I've been down here for 4.5 hours now. I will be incurring a parking fee, which I will be paying to PBOT for my time here today.
Thank you.
Mr. Miller, I have a question, because many of the small businesses have been telling me what their monthly profit is and then what their calculated fee is, which has been very helpful to me to understand the impact. You mentioned that the average fee for your stores would be a little over $2,000.
Yes.
What's the average profit of your stores?
Profits, I represent the association. I can't get into the profits of an individual company, but I can say that our generally in the grocery industry, we're very low margin. I mean, to keep groceries affordable, we're 1-2% margin, very low margin. So it's high volume that has to go out the door. When making these decisions, our members look at us and look at expenses and how it affects the cost of groceries. And so, again, when I use the word affordability, you could say, yes, could some of our grocery stores pay this? But, yes, it does go into the cost of goods, it goes into the cost of groceries. And so, again, we look at the overall expenses, and, again, this is just another expense and where we feel this is just it's too much, and there's still unknowns on what we're getting for our investment. And, again, if we can link that and make it reasonable, we understand the need that you all are talking about. We want customers. We need to get our trucks to our stores. No question. I'm not arguing with that. It's just, again, what is fair, what's reasonable, and again, we're willing to have that conversation. Again, when this first came out, we were very concerned about how fast this was moving. I know things have changed the last 24 hours, so hopefully we can take a deep breath and keep having this conversation.
Thank you. Let me ask my question in a different way. How much would your average grocery store pay in Tigard?
Tigard, it was I'll have to get that back, but in that range, it was. But I think it's around $250 a month.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay.
All right. Next on the list, Rebecca Hamilton, Carmen Merlot, Robert Boole. Are they here? Mary Vogel.
Mary's here. Okay. Got two. One more.
And how about Gary Sargent?
Yep, he's here. Okay, go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Rebecca Hamilton, and I'm an appointed member of the City's Pedestrian Advisory Committee. I'm an elected board member of the Northwest District Neighborhood Association. And I'm here today to ask you to pass this fee. As a member of the Pedestrian Advisory Committee, we periodically review lists of projects that we would like to fund, projects to put in crosswalks at high crash corridors or to provide various neighborhoods with sidewalks. And we prioritize these lists. We try to make our best judgment decisions on which neighborhoods are in most need. But that means that there are projects and neighborhoods that fall to the bottom of that list. And I know that those neighborhoods might not see funding for critical projects for many years. I believe that we as a city have a moral imperative to provide complete and safe transportation networks for all of our residents. But the neighborhoods in our outerlying districts lack the infrastructure to safely support the most basic mode of transportation, rolling and walking. And because of our failure to fund sidewalks and safe crossings, we have watched as low-income citizens and neighborhoods of primarily communities of color bear a disproportionate burden of traffic casualties and fatalities. So as individuals, this street fee upsets us. And you have heard from many people today, many people who are angry about the idea of the street fee. But if you have the courage, as leaders, to pass this unpopular but deeply necessary measure, I believe that you won't hear from heartbroken families and friends who have lost a child or a mother to crossing a city street, and you won't find yourselves attending candlelight vigils, making promises, to neighborhoods that you know you can't afford to keep. We elected you to lead, to make difficult and necessary decisions in the best interests of our neighborhoods, not to pass the buck without offering real solutions, to do what is right. I know my time is up, so I would just again please urge you, for our neighborhoods, pass this fee.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Mary Vogel, and I'm on the Portland Downtown Neighborhood Association Land Use and Transportation Committee, but I'm not testifying for them. I didn't have time to run this by them, so I'm testifying just for myself. Even though I live without a car on a poverty income, I would not necessarily oppose a monthly fee to get better sidewalks with more street trees and better bike lanes and fewer streets with potholes. If you first prevent more unnecessary road damage, charge the people who drive into the city with studded tires their fair share of the road and health damage that they cause. ODOT estimates that studded tires cause $40 million in damage to our roads each year. During its lifespan, the average studded tire chews up 1/2 to 3/4 of a ton of asphalt. That results in a fine dust that gets in the air, on the land, and eventually washed into our rivers. It also gets into our lungs, causing an inflammatory and toxic effect. A Swedish study found that the toxic dust created by studded tires is 60 to 100% greater than the amount from regular tires. The average damage from studded tires greatly increases our consumption of petroleum products and health, and hence our carbon footprint. So they should pay a greater carbon tax. A second suggestion, charge the speculators who own parking lots and other vacant lots in downtown to add street trees around their properties. Nearly all are devoid of such trees right now. This is one thing that my downtown neighborhood most needs for livability, and it should be done one less thing on the city's list to pay for. Third, increase the property taxes for speculators who own downtown surface parking lots to give them an incentive to develop their property or sell it to someone else who will. By taxing land at or near its development potential, owners of land being used at less than maximum productivity would be paying an extra tax in order to keep it that way. This will give you more residents to tax as well, because you'll get that development. So in any case, I have also submitted to you my testimony on the West Quadrant Plan to the Strategic Advisory Committee as part of the statement I sent you earlier from the Oregon American Planning Association Conference. So anyway, consider these and other tax fairness measures first before instituting the proposed street fee.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Gary Sargent. I also sit as Vice President of the 82nd Avenue of Roses Business Association. I've served on the Lentz Urban Renewal District Advisory Council since 1996. And I currently serve as Vice President of the National Independent Automobile Dealers Association and Chairman of the Board of the Oregon Independent Automobile Dealers Association. So roads are of a great concern for my industry. And we won't deny the fact that the roads do need to be repaired. But there's a couple of things that haven't been brought up here today that I want to pose some questions to the council. One is how the urban renewal dollars are being spent and how they will be used. Now, in the Lentz Urban Renewal District, the district that my business resides in, received $180 million in funds, and with an urban renewal project, and I understand there's 4 or 5 going on here in the city, how are those dollars going to be put to work? Now, with the Lentz project, Urban Renewal District, we first saw the money disappear because mainly because marshaling and administrative costs by PDC. So then they had to extend the urban renewal district, and with the carrot, if you will, that the Foster Road would receive a streetscape if they could extend the urban renewal district from 82nd to 52nd. Okay, that was about 4 years ago. Nothing has happened. Okay. Second question is, Mr. Mayor, I've been to two meetings where we've talked about this, and you and I may disagree, but we'll agree that things need to happen. You stated that currently the Public Works Department has gotten 100 miles of road done a year. Okay. Now, that's operating it within budget and at capacity, I assume.
No, not at capacity, but within budget.
Within budget, okay. So now you're going to have this influx of proposed $40 million to $50 million. How will you get that money out the door per year? Okay, that's a real key question, because a lot of what happened with our urban renewal district and why the money in Lentz disappeared in the first run of it was not only administrative costs, but there were money put into budgets to get things done, and nothing did get done. The money disappeared. And that's why it is so paramount that there is an accountability on this money. And then trying to try to disguise projects that might be for bike lanes or calling them safety things, to actually dedicate projects and earmark those, that this is what we're going to get done for this year, and then budget for it accordingly. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Quick response on one of those things. We need to, I think, explain to the community, if we haven't done so already, if these funds are approved, how will we get them out the door? Directly answer your question. So I won't try to do that on the fly right here, but that's something we ought to be able to explain to people. Some of it will be contracted out. Some of it will be done by our own workforce, but we ought to explain that to people. It's a very good suggestion, and we'll follow up. On the Lentz urban renewal area, you may not have heard, but yesterday, actually, the council approved a new 5-year action plan for the Lentz urban renewal area that was very heavily supported and created by the neighborhood and by local businesses. And I'll make sure you get a copy, because I think it's designed to not be a shelf study and to actually get things done. And I think you'll like what you see, but I'll make sure you get a copy of that.
I appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we have Linda Sargent, Richard Kiley, Thomas Mullen,
on up.
Harry Sampson, and William Newman.
Go ahead. You're on first.
Mr. Mayor, commissioners, thank you for taking the time to listen to me. In front of you, you have one of these that was supposed to be passed out by the council clerk.
Make sure we do.
I will just read this verbatim so we can get this short and to the point. My name is Richard Kiley. I'm the president of the 82nd Avenue of Roses Business Association. May 27th, 2 days ago, the 82nd Avenue of Roses Business Association Board of Directors voted unanimously to request the City Council defer a vote on the proposed transportation fee until it can be properly vetted. A number of concerns were raised about the legislation, which we believe deserve further study and input from the constituents most severely affected. An issue of this magnitude that affects all citizens and businesses in the City of Portland should be referred to the voters with proper disclosure. Among our concerns are, there is no time limit on this fee. At what point does the city see the fee being removed? There is no limit on the amount of funds that constituents will be required to pay. Current Public Works is operating at max capacity within budget, paving up to 100 miles a year. If the road fee is truly to be used to repair roads, what is the plan to increase their capacity? The city has already made substantial financial demands on the business community, including extremely high water and sewer rates, system development changes, stormwater management requirements, and recently adding sick leave ordinance to the payroll burden. Portland has developed a reputation as being unfriendly to business, and we are seeing established businesses leave for what they consider better conditions. A recent example of this is the departure of Banfield Pet Hospital corporate headquarters to Vancouver and the loss of nearly 600 jobs on the 82nd Avenue of Roses business corridor. Also, Portland was rejected by the Nike expansion and has not benefited from any of the recent massive Intel expansion. Proponents of the transportation fee were not forthcoming about the true cost of this measure. It was sold to the public as either an $8 or $12 a month fee per residence. Only in the last few days have the true cost of the cost to the business community been disclosed. The public may not realize that they will eventually be responsible for paying higher prices on everything as a result, similar to a hidden sales tax. The rates proposed in the Peabot Street fee rate calculators seem biased against small businesses and restaurants. It is confusing and difficult to determine the categories for different businesses. A small 2,000-square-foot restaurant may pay between $200 and $700 per month, depending on how it is categorized. More time is needed for many small businesses to adjust their budgets to accommodate this increased cost. Many may not be able to survive this increase. As representatives of 82nd Avenue businesses, we are acutely aware of the lack of services that have been provided to the outer southeast neighborhoods. We are also caught in the middle of a tug-of-war between ODOT and the city regarding overdue maintenance and improvement to the 82nd Avenue corridor. We travel daily on a state highway burdened with potholes, inadequate crosswalks, and many deficiencies. It is an affront to the taxpayers of the area who have received so many promises from our elected officials. The irony of this transportation fee is that none of the money will be spent improving this decrepit roadway.
Thank you.
I'm finished.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I come up for a breath and even my wife says, are you done? This is just one of the several needs that the City Council is considering passing on to taxpayers. Other financial requests are coming to revamp the city's emergency response system and parks maintenance. What other projects does the City Council have in mind to add to the burden of Portland's business community? We respectfully request City Council delay the implementation of the new user fee until some of the many issues surrounding it can be clarified. That said, as the president of the association, most of you know me personally on a personal level. I won the Spirit of Portland Award a few years back because all the residents in this community need attention, and they all deserve the best that we can provide for them, whether it's business or households. My thought on this, just speculating, most of you that know me know that I never come to the table with just a problem, but I try to bring some sort of a solution with it. In hearing what has been said over the news over the last couple of days regarding the water hiccup we had, and I'll use that term lightly, there were 461,000 reverse 911 calls to residents. As Heather earlier from Venture Portland stated, there are close to 20,000 businesses in Portland. Not to simplify this issue, but if we charge them just $12 a piece per month across the board, do the math. You're $8 million over what you need to have this project work. And that's just $12. And that way the businesses won't be incurred with this giant charge and have to pass it on to the consumers that can't afford more than they're already buying now.
We'll check that math. Thank you.
Thank you.
And great job.
I know it's late, but we are all appreciative of your service. And just had a quick reaction because I agree with so much of what you said. If you think there's an opportunity for us to get Intel jobs, you'll let us know.
Yeah, it's like I was telling you the other day. When you see that job open, you give me a call.
If we're missing something in Intel jobs, we want to know. On the Nike thing, over a beer sometime, I will give you the chapter and verse. But Nike chose to defer coming here, but not because the city didn't give them a very competitive offer. And there was everything that wasn't nailed down was offered to them. I want you to just have confidence in that. But your point about the Banfield is the same concern I have with Siltronic, which is we put a lot of money into inducements to get companies to come here, and they sometimes leave. And one thing that I'd like to know more about is when we put that public investment in the front end, are we making sure we get a fair return on our investment in the back end? Companies are free to leave for many reasons in a system like ours. But it troubles me that we, through the kitchen sink, for example, at Siltronic, created an urban renewal district, an E-zone, did a number of other things. We're going to exempt them from the river plan, and they're still down less than one quarter of the jobs that were promised when they located here. So there's a bigger question here about the two-way street with some of the folks we invest public dollars in. But I just want to assure you that on the Nike thing, the city, this council went to the map. And if you hear about any Intel jobs, we're all ears.
And I understand that, Commissioner Fish.
I agree.
I'm just trying to bring across here is that as small business owners, we don't mind paying our fair share. I have never shirked at my responsibilities as both a resident and a business owner in Portland. But to be weighed down being a small printing company, and I'm barely making ends meet because my trade is in flux, and I have to find a whole new market for that. So to do that, I have to spend money to make money. Whereas with these added fees and taxes, it's only going to make startups that are the lifeblood of this city a moot point.
And you made that point very eloquently. I didn't mean to take away from that.
No, your point stands, and thank you.
Right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Nick Fish asked people if they went to the town hall meetings. I went to it. When he was talking about businesses, how many people thought that would mean churches or charity organizations? We didn't think he meant that. He did not bring it out. He did say, what are we supposed to do? Take this money out of the schools. He could read his notes back. Are we supposed to take the money out of the schools, libraries, and that? That's what he said. That's why we are doing this, where we don't have to take the money away from the schools and libraries. Especially churches. If he brought up in the meeting that the churches and non-profit organizations would tax, how many people would be against him? He withheld the information. You're talking about the small cities that passed the taxes. Are you considering that a lot of those cities have way smaller property taxes than Portland? The tax system is different. You're comparing apples with oranges, which you say we do. If you're paying way less property tax, you can't afford a street tax. Why aren't they bringing that part up? That's important. You're comparing oranges with apples. We have programs gone in Portland. The streets, everyone knows, need to be fixed. They have to work with the state. Take money out of programs that aren't essential. The urban renewal, that helps new businesses. That could be put on the back street. And I think you'd get the voters in Oregon to vote on it. Here's $50 million. That's a year's taxpayers' money and businesses that could be put on the streets. Everyone agrees the streets being fixed. And you're up there screaming, the streets have to be fixed. Everyone knows. But how should it be paid? The pet projects. You take the Maple Leaf on Foster, they gave money. Didn't increase the businesses. We need to put the money on the streets. Take it out of the urban. And there's a way we can have people vote on it. Don't put people that are handicapped that get $70 a month pay $8. They can't afford it.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Thank you.
What do you respond on that?
Good evening.
Could I just get your name for the record, please?
Harry Sampson.
Thanks, Harry. Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Yes, Mayor and Council members. My name is William Newman. I'm a resident of Southwest Portland, and I agree that many of our roads and sidewalks are in need of maintenance. And yes, there does appear to be an emergency with deferred maintenance having grown to critical levels and apparently insufficient funds. But is it true that funds are insufficient for these basic and presumably essential and priority municipal services? Or instead, have existing tax revenues been poorly spent, often on inessential, even frivolous projects, deferring essential maintenance and upkeep and allowing this emergency to occur? Not a week passes without exposure of yet another poorly managed government project of waste, inappropriate use of funds, even extravagance in public sector spending. And rather than asking taxpayers for additional monies, I would ask you, as stewards of our government, to instead responsibly manage the city's existing financial resources, and only then, if a shortfall and emergency occurs, to come to us. An apt analogy that I read compares this situation to that of a parent who gives their child an allowance for school books and clothing, but the child spends it all on other things, comes back claiming an emergency. that there's no money for school books or clothing. You would not simply hand the child your credit card. Why are you asking us to hand the city ours? As taxpayers, we work hard for our money, and we try to spend wisely, because once we know it's gone, there ain't no more. As recipients of our hard-earned dollars, I would ask you to please spend our money with the same care, responsibility, and discipline. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, let's take some more.
We have Sheila Fuller, Michael Coker on North Overlook, if you're here. Claudette Clark. Tom Brown. Marianne Haynes.
We got one.
George Peterbach? Peterbach, okay. Wayne Stoll.
Yes.
Crystal Bridge. Oot Munger. Adam Chris. Adele Nofellow.
Okay, you got her.
Okay.
So go ahead, please, while she's,
likewise.
While she's
I was just
going to
say
up.
That same thing.
Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. My name is Marian Haynes. I'm representing the Portland Business Alliance. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'll be brief. I have basically three points that I'd like to make. First is the Alliance absolutely supports the goal of maintaining streets and improving safety. We know that there's a need. We have been supportive of a street fee in the past. In 2007, after a lot of discussions and a lot of process, we did get there in support of that fee that unfortunately didn't move forward at the time. This one is different. It raises twice as much money. The details and some of the exact projects have not been scoped out quite as far. So we're not supportive as this approach is currently constructed, but there is a conversation that we can have there and that we can build on. To that point, number two is the details matter. This is a very complex fee structure. You've heard a lot from businesses. I won't repeat what they said about understanding what the fee means to them, what they're going to be, what the funds are going to go to, but there's a lot of detail and a lot of complexity. It has been a bit of a moving target, and we really need to dig into those details to get something right here and something that we can support. Number three is we don't support splitting the business and residential. We think we should slow down on both aspects of the fee in order to have the conversations about those details, get some clarity to some of the questions that have been asked. We appreciate the effort to slow down the business fee, but some of the concerns and questions that we have are related to the funds that are raised for both. How's the money going to be spent? Some of the questions that both Commissioner Salzman and Fish asked in the beginning about administrative costs and how much goes to maintenance. Is it the 80%? Is it the 50%? These are the kinds of things we want to work through, and they apply to both pots of money. So in conclusion, our ask today would be that we delay both aspects of this fee and have that conversation. We're committed to having that conversation with you and trying to get to a solution. But it feels like right now it's time to start that conversation and not end it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you for staying and for your very constructive comments.
Thanks. Good evening. Let Wayne go first? Okay, Wayne.
Mayor, Commissioners, I'm Wayne H. Stoll. We own a small family business that started in Portland in 1950 by my parents teaching dancing and investing in an apartment building that we still own today. And now we're starting with our third generation that's in the business with us. And for years, we've prided ourselves in providing affordable housing to people in Portland before there was affordable housing. Mm-hmm. We've had one resident with us for over 40 years. We've had two or three more than 30 years, several 20 years and more. And many of these people are on fixed incomes. We have several tenants on Home Forward. And these are real people with real lives. And we send out a little goodie bag at the holidays for our tenants. One person wrote me, and I'll quote part of his letter, says, "For an elder on a fixed income, this is truly a wonderful gift," unquote. And this is a person that he's an older man. He's on a fixed income. I don't know how he's going to be able to afford a fee such as this. We like to give our people good deals on our rentals. Or one of our managers at a premier property of ours just checked the competition. Their two-bedroom apartments are renting for more than $250 a month, more than ours. and that's catty corner from our property in the Hollywood District. In our commercial properties, we have one tenant that's been with us for 46 years, a couple others for more than 30 years, several for 20 years and more. And most of these are small businesses, individually owned by Barbara and Stephanie, by Ron and Jim, by Annette, by Edward and Sophia, or by Amadou. And these people are working hard daily in their businesses. All of our income is derived from our rent. We don't get anything else. When our expenses go up, the rent goes up. We all want affordable housing. We want vibrant storefront businesses. And we want employee-generating offices throughout the city. We have employees. Susie has worked for us for over 20 years. Babacar has just worked for us for 15 years. And in the last 3 years, I've hired 2 new employees. We want to continue to employ these people. We want to continue to maintain our properties by employing plumbers, electricians, sheetrockers. That's a tough job. HVAC techs, carpenters, etc. Now, last night, we attended the Park Rose High School Senior Recognition Evening, where the Park Rose Business Association awarded 4 $2,000 scholarships to graduating seniors. That is out of 42 applicants. So that's obviously a need in our neighborhoods. And this is something from money that was donated by Park Rose businesses and or residents. And we in Park Rose want to continue to provide those scholarships to those people. So this is money coming out of our pockets. It can go to scholarships, could go to street maintenance fees. Now I'm going to digress a little bit because some of you know about what happened to our daughter 3 years ago. She was hit by a car standing on the sidewalk in downtown Denver, on the sidewalk. So transportation, sidewalk safety means a lot to our family. 3 years ago at this day, she was just coming out of a coma in a Denver hospital before she went to Craig Rehabilitation Hospital. So this is very important to us. But we do think that this is an item that must be referred to the voters of Portland. As people have said before, we're smart. We know what's going on. We'll do the right thing. And please, please, let us all vote on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Is every day like this for you guys?
Not every day.
Gosh darn.
You know, this last couple weeks, yes, but not every day.
Thank God we didn't have a boil water notice last week. That would have just put us over the top.
Oh, I'll tell you how I dealt with that on Friday. Anyway, it was successful, though. Park Rose really does rock. I mean, it's a great neighborhood, and it's one that I happen to live in also. And not to digress, but just for a moment, Adele Nofield. And I am representing the Pearl District Business Association today, but I do live in Park Rose, and no one has mentioned the incredible traffic that comes from Washington that uses our streets every day. And I see that going to work. I see it coming home from work. I see it in my neighborhood because Costco there on close to Marine Drive, Airport Way, IKEA, all of those places, everywhere is Washingtonians. How do we deal with that because they are using our roads? Just a question. Thank you for bringing this hard issue to the forefront and to our concerns. PDBA and many property managers of the district on the north and south, we've sent you a letter with our statements. I'd just like to talk about a different tack, though. Our concerns is not to repeat ourselves today. Excuse me. Portland is based on small business, especially in the Pearl, but all over this city. And they need a voice. I felt like when you passed the sick leave, we didn't have a voice in that action, and we really need to have one for this. We're small businesses that work on small margins. We do want safety, for sure. We do want great roads. But you need to include us in that process. We are smart, intelligent people who want to find the best solution, not to fight you on this at all, but include us. We ask that you vote no on this. We have a membership of 197 people and growing, but we need to grow strong. And for us to do that, we have to control our dollars. So please allow us to be part of that and vote no today, and let us work through this on a longer process.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Is Olga on North Wall? Are you here? Jeff Manley, Chris Bebo, Barbara Ellis, Eileen Cohn, Paul Comery on Southeast Taylor.
Okay, we got three. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Olia, actually. Sorry about my handwriting. I'm a small business owner, and I am here on behalf of my fellow business owners from what we like to call the Republic of St. John's. It's in North Portland, and most residents in my area passionately hate corporate businesses. I don't know if you guys have ever been to downtown St. John's.
We're all there is, for the parade.
Yeah, so exactly. So you know what it looks like. Six Point Inn on North Fessenden. I actually happen to be the only restaurant slash bar within a mile radius. I have about 5,000 people also within a mile radius that live there, and most of the traffic I generate is foot traffic. And, you know, we did a lot of talking about this with the fellow business owners in my area. And for some of them, this fee will mean closing our doors. You know, we have to work really hard in these times because of the, you know, just the economy. A lot of us have taken a big hit. And we often don't get a two-day weekend. We don't get a vacation. I haven't had a vacation in 4 years, you know. I don't know if you guys have, but I bring home about, like, what sometimes less than what my staff do, you know. And I am willing to continue doing what I'm doing, you know, and I would absolutely vote for a reasonable fee because I do care about my streets. But I just really, really ask you guys to give us a chance to keep our doors open and write this well and make it to where people understand what's going on and just slow down. And I will gladly vote for this myself if it's written well and put up for a vote for us. And thank you very much for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Thanks for staying. Appreciate it. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Eileen Cohn, and I think some of my concerns have already been addressed. But there are some issues I wanted to point out there sort of on a different slant. My background was that I'm retired now. I was an accountant, tax preparer. And in items like this, you know, including when the arts tax was passed, people are jump up and say, yes, that's a good idea. But my experience with people is that most people don't keep a budget. They don't know what they have, what they can afford, what their future expenses are. They don't have any money for emergencies. They don't have money for their retirement. They don't have savings. Very few people have savings accounts anymore. And, you know, we're in a consumer-type economy, and people come up and say, yes, let's do this. And most of us, I know I don't, have that extra money. I'd love to say it, but right now with the cost of food, I'm not spending money for the type of food I need. I don't buy clothes. I don't go on vacation. I practically have a very Spartan life, and yet I'm over that low-income level. But, you know, with what rent and food and everything is. And then this last week, unexpectedly, I had medical problems, and now I'm in debt for some medications that were very expensive that it turned out I couldn't use anyway because I had reaction to them. So my point is that even though I realize how badly you need these things, you know, we have to take into account where people are economically and that people tend to agree on things without ever looking at their budget.
Fair point. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks very much. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Paul Comrie. I'm a resident, and I've been a bike commuter in this town since I was in third grade. It's going on 20 years now. And I have to say, I'm not here to oppose paying a street fee. I think, particularly as a bicyclist, I would love to contribute. If for nothing else, then people would stop saying that bicyclists aren't contributing. And I'm not here to question whether or not we need this money for the streets. I think that's absolutely true. I don't think anyone would question that. What I do disagree with is the regressive nature of this fee. And I also question the rationale in defending this funding mechanism as the best option. I know Commissioner Novick has many times said to me and publicly that he's not happy with the regressive nature of the fee, and that he would prefer to see something more regressive. And you know, your own poll there showed, I mean, granted it was only 51% the second time people asked, but it was an increase from 44%, and that increase only happened because they were given more progressive options to put on the tax. I think people would be more in favor of this tax if it was more progressive. And so what I'm hoping that you guys will do today is, instead of just nixing this completely or passing it the way it is maybe empower Commissioner Novick to rework it and make it more progressive. And I have some ideas on how we could do that. The first thing, it's already been mentioned, that we currently aren't capturing any money from people who live outside of Portland who commute into Portland and use the streets. Vancouver was mentioned, Washington residents were mentioned. Also, you know, in 2012, Metro released a study. 45% of employed people in Gresham work in Portland. 41% of employed people in Milwaukee work in Portland. You know, we could capture that money, or we could capture funds from those people that commute into downtown Portland or commute into Portland to work if we did some sort of car user fee, similar to what they do in Chicago. You know, if you operate your car in Portland, you have to have a sticker, pay for that sticker every year. That would capture money from people who live in Vancouver, people who live in Gresham, people who live in Milwaukee. Additionally, it would also help kind of alleviate the discrepancy that currently exists with the fee setup. Right now you have a single family that has four cars and a single family that has one car. They pay the same amount. If you do a car user fee, you're capturing more money from the family that has more cars. They use the streets more. I think a couple of things that have been put out there is, you know, everybody pays and everybody benefits. And I'm for everybody paying, but I'd like people who use more to pay more. And I'd like to try and figure out a way that we could capture more money from folks who use the streets more. I don't think it's fair to ask a single-family house that doesn't have any cars to pay the same as a single-family house that has three or four cars. I'd also like to, you know, so in that sense, I'd like to see, like, maybe a no-car discount in addition to the low-income discount. And
good ideas. Just don't want to get you to wrap up soon.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate the time. You know, I did the online survey and I came to the town halls and I really didn't feel like my suggestions were listened to then. So I appreciate you listening to me now. One thing, item number 11 here on the proposal. It says the transportation user fee is based upon the premise that all users in the system contribute to the maintenance and safety costs. And I agree with that, but I don't think we're capturing all users of the systems in a very fair way, the way it's designed right now. And I would really hope that a further iteration of this proposal would look to alleviate that.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
It's too bad that we're now at quarter of seven, you put a complete alternative on the table and express yourself so thoughtfully. So I kind of wish we could have moved you back a few hours. But after the briefing, you said you should maybe think about a system that puts the fee on the car. So, for example, let's say I don't have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can give me three examples, just then.
Okay.
If my road in front of my house is not paved, don't I have an interest in having it paved so the fire truck can get there a minute quicker in case my house is on fire? Or if I don't have a car, but I happen to be very social, which I'm just a job I have the time for. Yeah. Let's say every night we have 50 friends over for a party. Don't I want to be able to get there and be able to park? So I'm intrigued by what you're saying, but isn't I indirectly impact the streets even if I don't have a car in ways that in my own self-interest I would like to have them made?
Well, absolutely, and let me be clear that I wasn't advocating that people without cars wouldn't pay anything. I like the model of everybody paying a little bit.
So this is a higher fee for the
Exactly. You get some more money from the higher. Yes. The way I look at it, the street is a public space. And if you have more cars, you're using more of that public space, whether or not you're driving them. You know, if you're just parking them on the street, you're still using that space. So that's why I want to see something. I want everybody to pay. I think that kind of promotes the idea that this is public space and we're all responsible for it, and I like that. What I do want to see, though, is that if you use more, you also pay more, and that hopefully with funds, you know, by requiring higher users to pay more, maybe we could lower the amount that lower users had to pay and still generate the same amount of funds.
If you use more water, you pay more.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
And the base charge is a fairly modest charge.
Actually, despite the lateness of the hour, I'd really like to take a moment to respond to what you're saying, because those are very important questions. And I want to let you know we have spent some time thinking about them. Actually, we've heard from a lot of folks in these forums, we've heard several folks saying what you said. We also heard people saying, gosh darn it, the cars pay for everything through the gas tax. It's time to just make the bicyclist pay. So we kind of came to the conclusion that, well, drivers are paying for a big chunk of the transportation system through the gas tax, which people who don't drive at all aren't paying. So we're now asking for a piece of the transportation system to be paid for by a fee that everybody pays. We also took into consideration the fact that, and I'm very depressed by this fact, by the way. I found this out about 2 years ago, and I wish it wasn't true. Buses, which I wish people used more, because environmentally public transportation is so much better than all of us driving in our own cars, buses actually impose substantial wear and tear on the roads. Our engineers told us that one TriMet bus is the equivalent of 11,000 Toyota Camrys in terms of wear and tear on the road. Now, I don't want to put a big tax on bus drivers. There's all sorts of reasons we want to promote public transit. But this fee would be a way for people who are using the roads in that way to pay. Another point is that freight trucks that come through town impose wear and tear on the roads. And at the state level, there is a weight mile fee, so the freight trucks pay a sort of an alternative to the gas tax. And we did ask whether that was possible at the local level. And we discovered two things. One is that in the city of Eugene, they considered doing a local weight mile tax, and they concluded that administratively, trying to figure out how much time a given freight truck spent on the streets of Eugene as opposed to somewhere else was just impossible to figure out. Also, the lawyers told us that the freight community would have a reasonable legal argument that state law prohibits us from having a local weight mile tax. And, you know, if they have a legal argument, they will pay the lawyers to gin it up. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that your points aren't worth taking into account, or that maybe we could have explored some of them more, but many of the points you raised, we did think about and explore to a certain extent.
Can I just ask a question? So with our utility bills, we charge a base flat fee for all customers, and then we pay for the service. Assuming there were no legal issues, the practical issues, what could you construct as an alternative that had a base charge that as he suggested, puts everyone has some skin in the game, as we do with our utilities with a base rate, but then pegs your charge to something? Well, in your case, you suggested the more cars you have, that would adjust it, or some other quantifiable measure above that. Is that just from your point of view and given the thought that you put into that, just
I think it's administratively very difficult, because you'd have to, I mean, unless you put sensors on people to see how much time, how many miles they spend walking and how many miles they spend driving and how many miles they spend biking and how many miles in a bus, and figure out the precise impact of each of those modes of transportation on the roads, I think it's difficult to get something that is all that defensible, because you could have a couple of cars, and if you don't drive them very much, you're having somewhat less impact.
Isn't the irony in that it's moving us away from a lot of the current thinking about using pricing to change behavior? I mean, we use congestion pricing. I can get on a speed lane on I-5 if I have someone in my car at rush hour to encourage me to have someone in my car. If we ever put a toll on the bridge, we'll have congestion pricing to discourage me from going at rush hour and encourage me to go at 4 in the morning. By having a flat rate, aren't we in effect putting a reverse are we missing an opportunity to create some incentive?
Well, I'll jump in there. And that none of the four of us was here in the previous round on this issue. But I think this time around, the proposal is sort of borrowing the